Great. It's exciting to come together. I love coming to church. Not just to give, but to receive. And I think that's the awesome thing about coming to church. We always, I believe, should come with that attitude to give to God in worship and into one another. I mean, one of the amazing things about God is the fact that He is love, and He says that, you know, you cannot say you love me and yet hate your brother. How can you love God that is unseen if you do not love your brother or your sister? And there's something powerful that happens when we love, when God says, you know, I've given my son to you, therefore I want you to love in the same way as I've given of myself to you. I want you to love others also. And there's something powerful when we come together, not just to worship, but actually to give to one another, to actually impart of ourselves into somebody else. And that's so amazing. And the other thing that why we come together is because I trust that we have an expectation that God will actually speak to us as a church, but also to us as individuals. And the challenge many times is not so much hearing what God is saying, but actually applying what He is saying. And that's why we've got small groups. I mean, small groups are actually there to help us not just to hear what God said, but then if we did come with an expectation and God did actually say something, surely we should do something about it. And that's really where small groups comes in, is where we not just talk about what God is saying, but we actually talk about how can we apply what He is saying. And it is so amazing that these principles that is found in the Bible, that God shares with an open heart to bless us, the amazing thing about them is they produce life when you apply them. It's not the hearing of that produces life, it's the application of that. And that's why we encourage everybody to come to small groups, because we know through the application in one another's lives and the sharing in one another's lives, God grows in us. And it's with that in mind, last time I shared a word, I believe, that God was speaking to us as a church, but also to us as individuals. And I was coming before God for the year, for a word for this year. God, where do you want us to go? Because, you know, as we know as humans, when we celebrate the new year, we also make resolutions. We reflect on the past, but more to the future. And we try to find out goals. We set for ourselves goals which we would like to meet and achieve. And it's a great motivator of starting all over and everything. And within that context, God shared this word with me for us as a church. And that simply is Matthew 6 verse 33 that says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. And last time I spoke about it, about the fact that this simple verse speaks about priority. It speaks about all the things that we're seeking after, and there can be many things. God is not saying seek only. He's saying seek first. And there are many things in life that we seek after, different things for different people. But what God is saying is, between all the things that you're seeking after, seek this thing first as a priority in your life. That's the most important thing that you seek after. Make this thing first, my kingdom and my righteousness. And then it also speaks about more than just priority. It speaks about a hunger and a thirst. That God is saying that if you hunger and thirst for righteousness, you will be satisfied. And God is saying, when He's saying seek first, He's not just speaking about priority. He's actually speaking to our hearts. And He's asking us, what do you hunger and thirst for? Because the thing that you hunger and thirst for will determine what you'll be filled with. And God is speaking to us as a church, and He's saying, I want you to hunger and thirst for the kingdom of God before anything else. Because that will determine what you'll be filled with. So I want to continue with this very simple word in Matthew 6 verse 33 that says, but seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these other things shall be added to you. And I want us to look at this verse in its context. You know, if you come to Bible school, I hope you all do eventually. That's my hidden motive. Go to cell and go to Bible school. But one of the things you will learn in hermeneutics, the interpretation of Scripture, is how do you interpret correctly the Word of God. And one of the things that you will be taught is to read Scripture in its context. Not just to take a verse in isolation and come to a conclusion, but really to read it in its context to see what is the actual meaning of this verse. You know, because as humans, we can interpret many things into a sentence. But really, if you want to know the heart of God, if you want to know the truth, it's important to understand what God is saying in its context. And then also to allow Scripture to interpret Scripture. Because, I mean, we can read, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all of us can have different interpretations of what that means. But the amazing thing about the Word of God, if we come with a humble, open heart towards God and we allow Scripture to determine and to interpret Scripture, we come to an understanding of the truth, not of man's opinion, but of God's opinion. For instance, His righteousness, what does that mean? We can have various opinions. But if we look at Scripture and all the Scriptures that speaks about His righteousness, we come to a correct definition of what that is. But I'm not going to speak about the kingdom and His righteousness yet. I'm just starting with, you know, the context and these powerful words that God says, seek first the kingdom of God. And in the context, I want us to start off with verse 25, where we looked at verse 33. But I want us to look at its context. And if you have a Bible here, please turn with me to Matthew 6, verse 25, because we're going to spend most of our time in Matthew chapter 6. So that we can see the context and the heart of God when He speaks these powerful words to us as a church. What does that mean? In Matthew chapter 6, and I'm just going to start here from verse 25. And we're going to explore the context in which God is speaking to us. Here in verse 25, I'm going to start there. It says, therefore, I say to you, God speaking, therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is life not more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. And you, are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which is today and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will He not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, and what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. All of a sudden, if we read this in context, verse 33 has a context. And all of a sudden, we start to see something that I believe is very and equally important to us for this year and for us as individuals and for our whole lives. And this is found here in verse 25, which is a good summary. And I want to focus on verse 25 in the context of verse 33. And verse 25 simply says, therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. Do you see that? That was a theme that continued throughout the Scripture. Do not worry. Why do you worry? Did you notice that? The context of verse 33 was God speaking to us about our worries, our anxiety, our stresses and our fears about life and the basics of life. And God is saying, do not worry about your life. This word worry in Greek simply means to be anxious about, to be troubled with cares.
Now maybe I must stop here and just for a moment and ask you, who of you are worried and are stressing about stuff? We all do from time to time, but because God is speaking and He's speaking to us as a church and He's speaking to you, I believe, today, I want you just to close your eyes for a moment. And nobody's going to look, and I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand. I'm not going to ask you to do anything, but I want you to close your eyes and I want you just to focus between you and God, and I want you to search your heart for the things that you are worrying about, the things that you are stressing about, things that you're anxious about. I just want you, just for a moment, just search your heart, just between you and God, and just bring that thing or things to God. I love the way God speaks through His Son. And He says, therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. God is saying something so powerful through His Son. He says, therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. Money, isn't that powerful? I mean, imagine you're in trouble and Bill Gates comes to you and says, you know what? If you're in financial trouble, imagine Bill Gates comes to you and says, you know what? Don't worry. I love the way God speaks through His Son. Therefore, I say to you. The NIV says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. You see, God sees life from a different perspective to us. We are trapped in this temporal dimension for a time. And we are constrained by physical realities. And here we have God that is outside the temporal, outside these constraints, that sees the beginning from the end, that sees the day you were born and the day you've died, and sees everything, the beginning of time and the end of time. God standing outside of time, and from His perspective, this is the Almighty, all-powerful, all-knowing, eternal God that created everything, that sustains everything, that knows everything. From His perspective, this is God speaking to you and me. And He says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. Because in this world, there are so many pressures and temptations and stresses and realities that pressurizes us and makes us anxious and concerned and stressful. And then God from the outside, knowing all things, doing all things, able to do everything and anything, says to us, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. Isn't that powerful? This is God speaking from His perspective about your life. God is speaking about your life. And He emphasizes this point by pointing to nature, to pointing to the constraints that we know about the birds and the flowers and how He cares for them. I mean, that's what God is doing. He says, listen here, I tell you, I, God, am speaking to you. Look at the nature. Look at nature around you. Look at the birds. Look at the flowers. How I care for them, how they live seamlessly, carelessly, without fear, without anxiety, how they just live their life completely free. Therefore, I say to you, if I look after them in such a way that they can live life with freedom, shouldn't you also live the same? Matthew 6, verse 31, he repeats this and he says, therefore, do not worry saying, what shall we eat and what shall we drink or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek. But your Father in heaven knows that you need these things. But seek first. You see, the world seeks after these things. And God is saying, I know what you need. I know you need these things, but first seek after me. And then all these things that the world seeks after, that I know you need, will be added to you. The world seeks after this first. That is what they pursue. But I say to you, do not worry about these things. But first seek me, my kingdom and my righteousness and all this stuff. You know, therefore is such a powerful word. If you've been around, you know I love the word therefore in Scripture. It's such a powerful word. When God says, therefore, do not worry. God is saying, look at how I care for the birds and the flowers. Look how I care for them. Therefore points to the... what's the word I'm looking at? It points towards the evidence of the promise. God is making a promise. And therefore points to this, to the evidence of this promise. And God is saying, look at the birds. Look at the flowers. This is the evidence. Therefore, look how God cares for everything around you. Therefore, it not only points to the evidence of the promise, it points to the premise of the promise, the principle of this promise. God is making a statement and he says, this is what it's based on. And it's so powerful when God says, look around you. Look how I care for everything around you. Therefore, he says, look at the birds, man. Look how they don't worry about what they're going to eat and where they're going to live and what they're going to wear. And I care for them. And you are far more valuable than all the birds. And if I care for them in such a way, therefore, do not worry. The principle on which it's, you know, look to God, therefore. But you know, it's not only God saying, look at how I created and sustain everything around you. It's not just God speaking. It is Christ. It is Christ speaking these words. The incarnated Son of God. The Word that became flesh, that dwelt amongst us. It is Christ that speaks these words and says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. It's powerful because it's not only God is saying, I understand the pressures. I understand the fears. I understand the constraints. It's not just God saying, I understand these things because I created it and I'm sustaining it. It is Christ who's speaking it. I understand because I became like you. I understand because I became man and I lived among you. I faced the same fears, the same pressures, the same temptations. I faced it like you and me. I faced it with you. And I understand. I understand where you're coming from. I understand the reality you're living in. I understand the pressures that you're under. I understand the temptations. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. So I'm saying to you, God is saying, it's not man that is saying, it's not Andres that is saying, it's God that is saying, therefore I tell you, I say to you, do not worry about your life. And I'm not only the God who created this world perfect. Do you see this? God is speaking to us and He's saying, it's not just because you shouldn't worry, because I created all things. And it's, I'm not just saying because I understand, because I created all things. God is saying, I understand because I lived it. It's not only the God who created all things perfect that cannot relate to the fallen world and all His temptations and stresses and brokenness. This is the incarnated Word of God that lives amongst us, that speaks to us in the reality of our lives. I physically came down for myself to live it. And therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. In Hebrews 4, verse 15 puts it so beautifully. It says, for we do not have a high priest that cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly into the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. I mean, isn't that amazing? We don't serve a God that is far removed from the reality that we live in. This is a God that lived it and is still living it through us in this world. It's this God, from His vantage point, from His reality, that speaks to you and me and says, therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. Look to my Father. Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat and what shall we drink or what shall we wear? After all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added to you. Now, I have to stop here for a moment, because there's sometimes a bit of a confusion here, especially in the charismatic world. What are these things that shall be added to us? Have you ever wondered about that? What are these things? Now, some would interpret that interestingly from a very human perspective and come up with interesting doctrines about what is these things that will be added to us as we seek after God. It's interesting if you read it in context and you do some studying in the Word, that you find that when God says all these things shall be added to you, He's speaking about basic needs. Sorry. He's talking about basic needs. He's talking about food and clothing and shelter and the basic things in life. Because in the context, if you read about it, He's talking about what will you eat and what will you drink. He's not talking about your third home. Sorry. He's not. He's not talking about the third home. He's not talking about the Porsche. He's not. Because life is not about stuff. It's about knowing God for eternity, in a place of relationship with Him that produces life, hope, joy, peace, love. That's what the world seeks after in stuff. The world seeks peace and joy in stuff. That's what the world does. That's what it communicates. It says, you will be happy if you have the third house. I mean, you've got two houses and you're still unhappy. The reason you're unhappy is because you don't have the third house. So get the third house and you'll be happy. The reason you're not happy is because of the first wife. Get a second one. Then you will be happy. Or, you know, 1 million is not enough. Get 3, 4, 5. That will make you happy. Fame. Being on TV. That will make you happy. That's what the world says. God sees from a different perspective.
knowing all things, creating all things, sustaining all things. He said, stuff can't make you happy. He's not promising us wealth or earthly treasures. That's not what God is promising us. And you know, there's a difference between needs and wants. There is a difference between needs and wants. And God says, I know what you need. He's not saying, I know what you want. I know you want the third car. So seek first me, not the third car, and then I will add the third car. That's not what God is saying. He says, I know what you need. I know what you need. Don't worry about what you need. Follow me, and I will take care of that. Now, please don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying that it is wrong to be rich and that God cannot bless you with the third car. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying that because God can. And He sometimes does. But that's not what He promises us. Okay? God is not saying, you know, God's promising us eternal life with Him. And that life will produce in us the peace and the joy and the security and the acceptance that the world is seeking after in stuff. God knows stuff can't bring it to you. The world seeks after that. And it actually destroys them. But I have come to give you life that will going to give you peace. And I think that's important. It's not wrong to be rich. It's not wrong to be blessed. And God does that also. But that's not what He promises us. The whole scripture is about, if you read this in context, is about our hearts. Where is your heart? Is your heart seeking after stuff, things, or is your heart seeking after me? And God is challenging us about our hearts. You know, I spoke to a friend, and it was so true what he says. You know, sometimes as Christians, we were seeking after stuff. Which is fine. It's nothing wrong with seeking after stuff. It's not wrong. Don't misunderstand me. If you've got one house, you want to, you know, there's nothing wrong with desiring a, you know, a nice house somewhere to have a holiday. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm not saying, don't misunderstand me. But what happens is sometimes that second home becomes a priority. Okay? And everything in me wants it. And I'm seeking after that more than anything else. And God says, seek first. Don't put that first in your life. Put me first in your life. But then what happens is, like my friend correctly explains, is then sometimes we realize, you know, I'm after the second house, but now I hear what Jesus says. And Jesus says, no, 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 I must first seek Him. And then all these things shall be added to me. Now that's a great deal, isn't it? So as I follow Jesus, then He's going to give me the second house. That's not what Jesus said. Talking about your basic needs, not your wants, your needs. And so many Christians, you know what? I counsel so many Christians that are offended with God because they didn't get the second house. Or they didn't get the car. Or they didn't get the wife. And they kind of came into the kingdom with an expectancy that God's going to add all my wants. And I know of people that they came in and they said, but I have followed God. And then I didn't get the house. And then all of a sudden, they're offended with God because they didn't get a stuff. And I was always confused as a young Christian because, you know what? Maybe it was easy for me. I wanted to commit suicide. I wanted to kill myself. And then God saved me. He said, no, I don't want you to kill yourself because I've given my son so that you can have life. So I said, God, have my life. Because I realized that He's given His son because I was going to hell. I don't want to be there. You don't want to be there either, trust me. Nobody preach about it, but it's a scary place. You don't want to be there, and God doesn't want you to be there either, so He gave us His son. So we don't have to go there. And I got saved from hell. And I'm eternally grateful for God that I'm not going to hell anymore. I'm going to heaven. I'm going to spend my life with Him for eternity, not there. And I'm eternally grateful. It doesn't matter if I get a house or not. It doesn't matter. And so many Christians, we sell the gospel to them and say, but if you follow Jesus, you'll get the house and the car and the this and the that. But that's never what Jesus promised. And then they don't get it. And then they get offended with God. Because they didn't get into the kingdom understanding that God is promising us eternal life. That life produces within us, yes. That life has benefits. And yes, God can bless you. But it's not off, we're not after that. We're after Him. It's about our hearts. Because there's something dangerous with having too much stuff. We start to build our security on that. And that's what the world does. It says, listen here, if you don't have enough stuff, you should worry. Isn't that so? I mean, what about your old age? Don't misunderstand me. I'm not saying you shouldn't plan. But the world says, listen here, if you don't have enough stuff, you should worry. So you've got to pursue stuff. God says, no, no. Pursue me. I will take care of what you need. Because our heart, that's the important thing. Where is your heart? If your heart is pursuing after God, the stuff that is added and can be a blessing over and above is not going to control your heart. It's not going to become your confidence, your security. So this whole scripture is about where is your heart? In who are you trusting? Because, you know, when we're young, it's natural. We want lots of stuff. And the older we get, the more concerned we are about our needs. The wiser we get in life. God says something powerful. He says, listen here, seek first me, and I will add all these things to you. And you know what is so amazing? It puts it so clearly here in verse 25. Therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. And there's another therefore there. I don't know if you've noticed that. When God says, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. There's another therefore. There's another premise of a promise. Where all this starts off from. And if you go look at where does it start off from, you can look, turn to verse 19 to 25. And all of a sudden you see what the therefore is all about. It starts here in verse 19. It says, do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and vermin can destroy and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven where moth and vermin cannot destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will also be. And then he goes on and he says, no one can serve two masters. They will either hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. Do you see that? That's the context. What I'm saying, you cannot have your heart in stuff and in me at the same time. But he's making an awesome promise. He says, because you have chosen, because you have chosen to put your heart in me, and not in stuff. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. Because you have chosen to put your trust in me. Therefore, I tell you, the Almighty, all-knowing, eternal God. Because you have done that, do not worry about your life.
what you will eat and what you will drink and where you will live, because I'm going to add that to you. I know what you need. So I want to encourage you as individuals and as a church, as we're going into this year, God is speaking to us, and He's speaking not about the desire to have other stuff. There's nothing wrong with that. Don't misunderstand me. But seek first. If you're seeking other others, that's great. But seek first. If you're looking for security and you're looking for this, there's nothing wrong with that. But your heart should not be in that. It should be in God. And God is saying, as you put your faith in your heart and your effort and your desire and your hunger and thirst in me, I'm going to add to you. I'm going to add to you. I mean, 1 Timothy puts it so beautifully. It says, contentment or godliness with contentment is great gain. Have you read that before? There it is. But godliness with contentment is great gain. What is contentment? We just spoke about it. Now, how would we define contentment? What is it? He says there, for we brought nothing into the world and we can take nothing out. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with these. Sorry. And I have to repent because the church have been taught, have been teaching other stuff. You know, universally, I'm not saying this church, but the whole prosperity thing. Because then all of a sudden, people start to pray so that they can get stuff. They start to give so that they can get stuff. And all of a sudden, their heart is in the expectation that they're going to get stuff. And God is saying no. He says, but those who want to be rich. Do you see that? Sorry to be harsh, but it's not me. It's the Word of God. It says those who want to be rich. Not those who are rich. It says those who want to be rich fall into a temptation and a trap. There's a difference. You see, it talks about wants. Do you see that? Those who want to be rich fall into a trap. Why? Because of our heart. You can't. Where your heart is, there your treasure. Where your treasure is, there your heart is. And then he goes on and he says, but those who want to be rich fall into temptation and a trap and many foolish and harmful desires which plunge people into ruin and destruction. And for the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil, and by the craving it, some have wandered away from the faith and pierced themselves with many pains. There's nothing wrong to be rich. And I also want to say, if you're a businessman, don't feel guilty if God is blessing you and prospering you because He wants to, but don't put your heart there. Don't let the wealth and the riches become your security. Don't let it become your primary pursuit in life. Don't sacrifice your family and your children to gain more wealth. Don't work from 6 in the morning till 12 at night so that you can get more stuff. And say, but I'm doing this so that we can be secure when we're old. It is a trap. It's going to destroy you. It's going to destroy your marriage. It's going to destroy your family. I'm not saying resign your job. I'm not saying that either. I'm saying get the balance right. Check your heart. Check your heart. Because the world says you need all this so that you can have peace. So that you can have joy. And God, the Almighty, All-Powerful, All-Knowing God, says, no, you're going to have joy and peace in me. You can sleep at night secure. Because your heart is with me. That is the kingdom of God. Someone called it the kingdom of paradoxes. Jesus says, if you lose your life, you will gain it. You must love your enemies. And it's so powerful as we pursue it, even though it doesn't make sense in this world, we gain the life that He promises. So I want to encourage you. Don't put your heart in stuff. Your heart in God. Seek first Him before you seek first other stuff. You know what? And don't understand me wrong. I'm not saying God is going to keep you poor. But my life has been a testimony of this very simple thing. When I believed God spoke to me, I gave up my inheritance. I gave up everything to follow Him with nothing. As a volunteer, not expecting a salary. And I'm not saying that's what you must do. Don't misunderstand me. I'm just saying, in my life, as I was pursuing God without expecting anything except knowing Him, God blessed me with lots of stuff. But what is amazing, because my heart is after Him and not the stuff doesn't have a hold on me. It doesn't hurt when I lose it or it breaks. And I break stuff. God knows I break stuff. But it doesn't seem to hurt that much. It's kind of, whether I have or don't have, it's kind of irrelevant. But because it's irrelevant, I seem to have. I don't lack. I don't know how it works, and I don't want to make a formula out of it. But all I'm saying is, don't be afraid. God is a good God. Just put your heart and your trust in Him. And don't worry about life. If your heart is with Him, don't worry. So for this year, can we trust God? As a church and as individuals, can we trust God to put our hearts, to move it towards Him and not towards stuff? And I really believe that's what God is speaking to us. So I want to give you an opportunity, just where you are seated here today, just to ask God in His Spirit to reveal to us, to examine our hearts, to show us if there is stuff in our hearts that has priority over Him. There's things that we seek more than we should in relation to who He is and what He promises. So I'm going to give you an opportunity. I'm going to pray, and then I'm just going to give you an opportunity just to talk to God. And then I want to ask you, while you're talking to God, just to ask Him to help you to make that move today. Just to say, God, I want to move my heart. I want to loose from these things, and I want to cling to You, Father. I want to make You the priority. God, I want to seek You. Father, I want to thank You that You came and You gave Your Son. God, You gave Your Son. You gave Your Son, God, because You saw us in our sinfulness. And You saw, Lord, the consequence of this. And You loved us so much, God. You didn't send Your Son to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. God, You sent Your Son because You loved us. And You gave everything. Lord, You were willing to humble Yourself to become nothing. You were God, eternal, worshipped by the hordes of eternity. You humbled Yourself to become nothing. God, You were not born into wealth, into fame. Lord, You were born in a manger, homeless. You emptied Yourself of everything. God, the word says, You emptied Yourself of all godliness, all glory, all everything. You emptied Yourself to become nothing. So You might save us. You are eternal God, all powerful, all knowing. You humbled Yourself to become nothing because there was no other way. And You did it, God, so that we may have life. And You are pleading with us today. You are saying, I tell you, when I see your worry and your concern and your stresses, I'm telling you, you, do not worry about your life. But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness and all this stuff you are worried about. The stuff that we're worried about. We very seldom worried about wants. We worry about needs. All these needs, I will take care of them. God, I want to thank You that You are speaking to us in this world, Lord, where there's so much pressure and temptation and stresses and fears going around, Lord, that You are speaking to us. Therefore, I'm saying to you, to me, Andre, I'm saying to you, Andre, I'm saying to you, John, I'm saying to you, Peter, I'm saying to you, Susan, I'm saying to you, do not worry about your life. It's safe in my hands. Just place it there. It's safe. God, I want to thank you for that, Lord. I want to give us an opportunity, Lord, just to examine our hearts, Lord, of this stuff that has taken preeminence of you, God. I want to pray that you'll show us, Lord, and give us the grace, Lord, just to let go and to change our focus, our hearts, Lord. Move hearts, Lord. I want to pray for hearts to move from stuff to you. I'm just going to give you an opportunity. As we are praying, keep your eyes closed. I believe God is speaking to some men here as a father. As a father speaking to his son in love. Not in anger, but in love. He's my son. You're putting your trust in money. My son, put your trust in me. I don't know who you are, but God is speaking to you today. I believe God is encouraging some here today. And He's saying, my son, my daughter, because you have chosen me over money, therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life. Do not worry about your life. I don't know who you are. Maybe you have no money. God is saying, because you have chosen me over money, therefore, I say to you, do not worry about your life. Arnu and Mari lost their son this week. I believe God is saying, do not worry about him. He's safe in my hands. Do not worry about his life. From my hands. Father, I want to pray for those who are struggling with fear. If you're struggling with fear, just raise your hand. I'm going to ask you to come forward. Father, I want to pray for those who are struggling with fear. Father, I want to pray that you will fill their hearts with your peace. God, I want to pray, Lord, that as they choose
put their faith and trust in you, God. I want to pray, Father, that you will come and you will fill their hearts with peace. Because you are the Almighty, the All-Knowing, the All-Powerful, the Creator, the Sustainer of life. And you are looking into their life right now, Lord. And I want to pray, Father, that as they bring, as they are seated here with the fears, God, with those fears, God, I pray that as they bring those fears before you, Father, that you will speak your life into their hearts, that they may see past it, that they may see you, Father. So, Father, I just pray for peace, Lord. If you are stressing, you are stressing about stuff, I just want you to respond to God. If you are stressing about something, I'm not talking about fear, I'm just talking about stress. You are stressed out. If there's somebody here that's really stressed out, your whole life you've just been stressing. Just raise your hand quickly. I see some hands. Father, I want to pray for these hearts, Lord. You can drop your hands again. Thank you. Father, I want to pray, Lord, that you will come and that you will open the eyes of their understanding that they may see, God, that they may see your faithfulness around them, Father. I want to pray, Father, that you will help them, Lord, to move their hearts, Lord, to move their hearts into the secret place, Lord, under the shadow of the Almighty God, Lord, under the wings of God. Lord, I want to pray, Lord, that they will move to this place, Lord, that they have heard of and they have experienced from time to time. Lord, I want to pray that they will move to this place and they will choose, Lord, they will choose to speak to their soul, Lord, to speak to their minds and to their hearts and say that I will trust in God. I will trust in God. God, I want to pray, Father, that you will take away stress out of their lives, Lord. I want to pray, Lord, that you will impart your identity into them, the way you see them, the way you see them, because you see differently than man. And I'm not just talking about their hearts, Lord, like the prophet saw into David's heart, Lord, when he anointed the king, Lord. I'm talking about the fact that they have become sons and daughters of the Almighty God. Lord, I want to pray that you'll open their eyes to see who they have become in Christ Jesus. That they are accepted, they are beloved, but they are also seated with Christ in heavenly places. And that they have been blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus. God, I want to thank you, God, that they are secure in you, Lord. And that there is nothing that can separate them from you. Nothing. So I want to pray for that peace in their hearts, Lord. Lord, I want to pray that you'll give us the boldness to speak to our souls every day when we are faced with what the world says and say, no, I choose to put my faith in God. I choose to move my heart not into these things. God, I pray that you'll help us to loose us from the stuff that takes priority, Lord. And I want to pray that you will make you priority in us forever and ever. God, I want to thank you, God, that you are going to provide in the needs. Lord, I want to thank you that you're even going to bless. God, I want to thank you that our expectation and our desire would be to have more of you, more than anything. God, I want to pray that we'll be able to run as this race, God, in this life, as strangers in this world, not being entangled with it. Lord, so I want to pray, Lord, for people. I know there are people here, God, that you have called. And you know who you are. God has called you. God has called you. But you are entangled. You are struggling to run. You're struggling to move the way God called you to move because there's just so many stuff around you. And God just wants to untangle you. He's not talking about resigning and changing careers and wives and stuff. He's not saying that. He wants to free your heart from this stuff so that you can run the way He's called you to run, Lord. So I want to pray for those, Lord, that you have spoken to, that knows that you have called them, Lord, and they are struggling in this world. They can't get to where you want them to because of all the stuff, Lord. I want to pray in Jesus' name that you will free them from the stuff. You will set their hearts free, Lord. That they can run this race that you have set before them, their race, Lord. I want to pray
that people will leave this place running again. Maybe you haven't been running for a while, that's okay. But God is going to set you free, and you're going to start maybe with baby little steps. But it's going to be different this time, because nothing is holding you back. So Lord, I want to pray for those people. I don't know who they are, Lord, but I pray that you will teach them to walk again in the direction that you have called them. And I want to thank you, Father, that as a church and as individuals, Lord, we're going to run. We are not going to face the battle line and be afraid anymore. We're not going to try and hold the ground. But we're going to see the enemy. We're going to get excited. We're going to start running straight at them. And first they'll think we're foolish, because they know us. We've tried it before. But then they're going to see something different in our eyes when we run straight at them. And they're going to become afraid, because they're going to see you in us, God. Lord, I want to thank you that this town will not be the same. It will not be the same, God. That the kingdom will advance, Lord. That the lost will be saved, God. That the broken will be healed. And maybe you're here today and you've never given your life to God. I believe God is calling you today to surrender your life to Him, so that you can have this life that He has promised. And that so many millions of people are living. If that is you, if you've never surrendered your life to God, or you've turned away from Him and you know God is calling to you, I believe God is speaking to you today. If that is you, just raise your hand. Say, God, I want to come back. I want to respond. God, I want to give. I want to give my life to you, God. I want to be able to run free. Free from shame, free from guilt, free from fear and pressure. If that is you, just raise your hand quickly. Keep all those hands. You can drop them again. I want to ask you that raise your hands to do something very bold, because this is very powerful. You might feel uncomfortable, but this is so powerful when you respond. I want to ask you to bring your personal belongings and quickly come forward. Because there's something that happens. We personally respond to what God has spoken to us. It seals it for eternity and makes it so powerful. So I want to ask you, if you raise your hand, if you want to surrender your life to Jesus, I want you to quickly come forward. Let's just give them a hand as they do. And if you're a bit shy, just take the hand of the person next to you and come. I want to ask you to quickly come. I'm going to give a moment for you. There's something powerful when we surrender our life to God publicly. What is your name? Charmaine. There's something powerful, whether it's the first time or we're just giving it all back to Him. There's something powerful that happens, because she is acting on God's Word and she is not ashamed. And that's why there's always this battle. Because we're thinking, what are other people going to think and what are other people going to say? But this is not about the other people. This is about you and God. And this makes it so powerful. If there's anybody else that wants to come, please come. I'll give you an opportunity. Something powerful. God, I want to thank you, Lord. I want to thank you, Lord, for this woman of faith, Lord. I want to thank you, God, for this bold step, Lord, that she's taking, God, today again before you and saying, God, here I am. Lord, I'm turning to you, God. I'm facing you again. Turning around, Lord, from this world, Lord, and I'm making a declaration today that you are my God. And I'm choosing, God, before all these people, Lord, before heaven and hell, Lord, I'm making a statement today that I belong to you, Lord, that I want to give you my life, God. I want to declare today that you have given your life for me so that I can have life, Lord, and I stand on that today and I make a declaration, Lord, and I want to thank you, Father, that you have set me free, that you have forgiven me, that you have embraced me, that you give me a new identity in Christ, Lord. And I want to thank you, Lord, that she will run, Lord. She will run and not grow weary, Lord. I want to thank you, Father, that what the devil has used against her in her life, Lord, is going to become her strength, Lord. It's become the fear in the enemy, Lord, when she walks in freedom, Lord. I thank you for a testimony, Father God. I thank you, God, for the weakness that will become a strength, Lord.
I want to thank you, God, for a shame that will become a testimony, Father God. I want to thank you, God, for those, Lord, that saw her sin, Lord, will see a salvation, God. And Lord, I want to thank you, Father, that even the lost, Lord, will become saved, Lord, because of the life that they see in her, Lord. I want to thank you for that. God, I want to thank you for this church. God, I want to thank you that we will walk, and we will run, and we will charge, and we will take hold of what the enemy has taken, and we will take it back for you, God. We will move your flag, Lord, step by step, Lord, and we will advance it in this town, Lord. And I'm going to thank you, God, that your name will be glorified, Lord, everywhere. Thank you, God, for your goodness and your faithfulness. In Jesus' name. There's some people that wanted to share a word. I'm going to give 30 seconds. If there's anybody that has a word that would like to share that, quickly come forward.
Of this most precious message we received today. Please bear with me. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
I had this picture of this chasm that is between us and God. And a lot of us, it's not God has turned away from us, but we've allowed a lot of things to come between us and God. And almost like using things and situations to become our security. And I feel God wants us to take a prophetic action today. And what I saw was this bridge back to God in that sense. And God would want us to cross this bridge and kick this bridge away and totally surrender to Him again and find Him as our security.
Thank you, Father, that we can come to You, Lord. And thank You that we can give You our hearts, Lord. And God, I pray, Lord, for each and every one of us. God, I thank You that You are saying today that those of us who have crossed this bridge, Lord, and have closed it behind us, Lord, I want to thank You, God, that You are saying to us, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, because you are safe in Me. You are safe. You are safe. And I will give you life. Life that will spring up like wells of living waters from the inside of your being, that overflows, that cannot be contained. Lord, I thank you for love, for joy, for peace, for goodness, for kindness, for gentleness, for self-control. Lord, I pray, Lord, that you will come and fill us with the knowledge of you and a relationship with you and knowing you. In Jesus' name, amen.